Please be seated. Just to mention in the bulletin, also in the posters for the Jubilee series, we'll finish up with a sort of a bonus sermon, just a little bit on Jubilee indulgences. Before I move into that, right after the last sermon, we'll move right into evening prayer. We can use this booklet here to help us to pray, and I'll give some final instructions about that when we move to evening prayer. But to introduce the idea of a Jubilee indulgence, I'd like to begin with a hypothetical example. Let's say that one day I was out in the front lawn by the school tossing the baseball with Father Chamara, and so just to show Father Chamara how hard I can throw the ball, I wing it at him. But since I have a really bad throwing arm, the ball goes off and hits the school window, and the window breaks. Oops. So what will I have to do now? Eventually, I'm going to have to tell Father Rowan, because that's his, he's in charge of the school, so I have to tell Father Rowan that I broke a school window and that I'm sorry. And I suspect he'll forgive me. He'll probably grumble at me, but he'll forgive me. But it probably won't be enough for him for me to say I'm sorry, that I'll have to make up for the window. Even though Father Rowan's usually a pretty forgiving guy, I can say I'm sorry, but there's still damage that needs to be repaired. And so keeping this example in mind, I begin because indulgences are a part of our Catholic faith. It actually used to be a larger part of the Catholic culture, though over the last probably 50 years, it's almost slipped into obscurity because of confusion and maybe even a little bit of fear or embarrassment of this idea of the indulgence. The word itself has sort of a ring to it. I almost think of, let's say, some of the desserts that the Catholic Daughters of the America provided after the masses this morning. Actually, an indulgence can be defined as a remission of the temporal punishment to which we are subject because of sin, even though the sins themselves may have been forgiven. This remission comes through the help of the Church, which is the minister of Christ's redemption, sort of the textbook definition from the Catechism. And if you find the definition sort of confusing, I'm going to try to make it clear by using that example of the broken window. Since I broke the school window, I have to do two things before I can be at peace with Father Rowan. First, I have to ask for and receive his forgiveness. And second, I have to make up for what I did by paying for the window. Now, every time we sin, we're also called to do two things before we can be at peace with God and neighbor, and before we can really enter into God's presence when we die. We must remove the guilt caused by our sin and remove the punishment due to sin. First, we must say, I'm sorry for our sins and receive forgiveness from God. Just as I need to tell Father Rowan, I'm sorry for the window before he'll forgive me. When we ask for and receive forgiveness from God, the guilt of sin is removed, and we're at peace with him. If the sin is small or venial, forgiveness can actually take place through things like an act of contrition, the receiving the Eucharist, and by way of other good actions. Mortal sins, which result in eternal punishment, ordinarily must be forgiven through the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. And though the guilt of sin is removed through receiving forgiveness, there are still some effects of the sin which remain. Just like a broken window remains at the school, even though Father Rowan may have forgiven me. In justice, I have to repair the damage to the school window. And in justice, we have to make amends for our sins and repair the damage caused by sin. Meaning to make up for our sins and repair the damage caused by sin. And this is called what we call the temporal punishment for sin. This temporal punishment affects our relationship with God, with others, and even with ourselves. not because God loves us any less because we sin, but because we damage our love for God and our neighbor. We hurt ourselves and our relationship with them. I like how Pope Francis explains this in his Bull of Vindiction. He says, as we know from personal experience, every sin leaves its mark. Sin has consequences, not only outwardly in the effects of the wrong we do, but also inwardly, inasmuch as every sin, even venial, entails an unhealthy attachment to creatures, which must be purified either here on earth or after death in the state called purgatory. In our humanity, weak and attracted by evil, certain residual effects of sin remain. And the usual means of repairing the damage and making up for our sins is penance. I mentioned that in the talk about confession, especially the penance that we receive from confession, but it doesn't exclude that. That's one reason why we do penance during Lent, as a way of repairing the damage. Through penance, we show that we're truly sorry for our sins, we want to change our sinful lives, and that we want to grow in charity or love. However, confession and penance doesn't mean necessarily that all the damage from sin has been repaired or satisfied. And though God's love for us is infinite, our love for Him is still imperfect and needs healing, needs growth. And this is where indulgences can also come in. As I mentioned, an indulgence is a remission before God of the temporal punishment for sins through the help of the church. Maybe you can compare it to offering payment for the broken school window, except with an indulgence, most of the payment doesn't come from the one who broke the window, but comes from other members of the family, you could say. An indulgence brings remission of sin by actually tapping into what is referred to as the treasury of the church, which is made up of the good works of our Christian brothers and sisters, the saints, Mary, but also, and more especially, includes the merits of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross. That through the church, this treasury is at our disposal, because we, as the members of the church, have an opportunity to share in what belongs to Christ and his mystical body. The church, as Christ's mystical body here on earth, has the power, the keys, to dispense or share Christ's spiritual gifts with the members of his body. Gifts which can even bring that remission from punishment for sin. To use the words of the late St. John Paul II, he says, everything comes from Christ, but since we belong to him, whatever is ours also becomes his and acquires healing power. This is what is meant by the treasures of the church, which are the good works of the saints. To pray in order to gain the indulgence means to enter into this spiritual communion and therefore open oneself totally to others. That through Christ and with Christ, Christians help each other on a spiritual level. And so again, maybe come back to the idea of being a consumer versus a communicant. You go back 5 centuries and they sold indulgences. You hear about the stories in church history and that consumer mentality. But we need to approach the indulgences with a communicant mentality, that by these different works, actions, prayers, we join in communion with those who have gone before us and with those who remain here. Some final things to mention about indulgences. First, there are two kinds of indulgences. There are those we call partial indulgences, which means only part of the punishment for sin is removed. And then there's the plenary indulgence, which means all the punishment for sin is removed when certain special requirements are fulfilled. Also, indulgences not only can be received for ourselves, but they can be applied to the souls in purgatory, because they too, as members of the church, can share in this expression of Christ's total gift of mercy, because they are members of the church. There is a communion that still remains. And so with this, you're probably wondering, well, how can I get an indulgence? Indulgences may be received from prayers and other works which have been specifically designated as indulgence works. Prayers such as even like the Angel of God, the Rosary, Adoration here today, the sign of the cross, all have indulgences attached to them. And Pope Francis has declared this a holy year, a jubilee year. A jubilee year is a time of conversion and repentance, of forgiveness and reconciliation. It's a time for growth in faith, hope, and charity. It's also a time which traditionally has included special jubilee indulgences and special pilgrimages to gain these indulgences. And so, like other jubilee years, this year is not different. And I've talked about some of these jubilee year pilgrimages with that little sheet I've offered. We've heard a little bit other things that bring about these indulgences for the jubilee year. In the back of church, I put a little pamphlet. Some Italian words on top, but then it says, Decree on Granting Indulgences During the Ordinary Jubilee Year 2025. And so this gives you all the indulgence prayers, pilgrimages, and works that you can do in order to receive these really beautiful things. I like the words of another author who says that required conditions for gaining the indulgence, the jubilee indulgence, should be seen as road signs for an authentic journey of inner purification, or even better, as effective signs of true conversion in our lives. So indulgences should not be ignored as something from the past, but really an opportunity for hope, an opportunity to look to the future, an opportunity for growth in our own spiritual lives, and to allow God's grace to work in the lives of other people that we touch in a certain way, just by our own prayers and actions for them. And so that brings an end to the Jubilee Year sermon series, and this idea that these are meant to offer us hope. Great, beautiful year, and so take advantage of this Jubilee Year. So this time we'll move into evening prayer. Again, use the booklet here. We'll use the hymn, actually, for Palm Sunday listed in the booklet. And again, for the Glory Be, we'll use the traditional Glory Be as opposed to the literal translation that we find in the booklet. And for the Psalms, as usual, we'll go back and forth. Except when we get to the Canticle of Mary, and we'll say that all together.